It's good whenever you see the harvest gathered in. There's a farmer near where I live now, and he always seems each year to be late. He's late at sowing, and he always seems to be late at the reaping as well. But this year, he got it all in, and there was no problem. I think in other years now there were some problems, but this year he got it in. And my wife was speaking to one of the farmers and said, what was the harvest like? And he said, well, he didn't like to say too much, but he thought it was quite good this year. And we have cause to give thanks, haven't we? Give thanks. For all good gifts around us are sent from heaven above. Then thank the Lord. So much richly to enjoy. But I want you to think this morning, not just of the material harvest, I want you also to think of a spiritual harvest. Because I think that the two are very much linked together, especially whenever we read these verses in Luke chapter 8. Do we expect a spiritual harvest? Whenever a farmer sows a field, and I see the fields are sowed already for next year, but they expect a harvest. And Jesus told this parable of the farmer going out to sow the seed to illustrate the response, the response in men and women's lives. And we all know the story, I think, the broad outline of it, the four different types of ground. And on each type of ground, there is a different response. The seed is sown, and how will you respond, and how will I respond? Well, the seed that falls by the wayside, well, it's gone right away. The birds come down and take it up, and it's away in a moment. And Jesus says in verse 12 that the devil comes and just snatches it away. The person, well, no benefit from it at all. The person will say, oh, the gospel is not for me. I went to hear that man speak, and well, it didn't make sense. And here I am, I'm out, and it didn't do me any good. There are people like that. People like that. But I want us especially this morning to concentrate on the seed that fell in the rocky ground. The second part of the Lord Jesus' parable. The seed that fell in the rocky ground. Because here we have seed that we can speak of it as like the seed that is emotional or impulsive. The person that receives it is emotional or an impulsive. It falls on a shallow covering of soil, but underneath lies a rock. So let's think about this seed for a short time then this morning. First of all, you notice in verse 13 what happened outwardly. What happened outwardly? The farmer came along when he sowed the seed and he saw that the shoots were coming up. The green shoots were coming up and it looked very well. There were signs of new life. The brown earth was being covered with green. As far as the farmer could see, well, this is going to be a good crop. And so the Lord Jesus tells us, of course, that tells us that the seed on the rocky ground is like those who hear the word and hear the gospel and receive it with joy. But they only receive it for a time. Notice verse 13, and I'll be referring to it quite often. It says in verse 13 at the end of the verse, they believe for a while. They believe for a while. Now that's a strange thing to say, isn't it? To believe for a while. It's almost like saying to somebody, oh, you've changed your mind since the last time you heard about this. You've decided that what you knew then it was wrong, and now you've changed your mind and you're going on a different course. But here you have people who believe for a while. There's evidence in the lives of these people that they're Christians, that they are Christians. So let's think about it. What would you expect to see in the lives of these people that Jesus is referring to here? The seed has fallen on the rock and it shot up for a short time. Well, there must have been evidence, first of all, of repentance, mustn't there? They have heard the gospel and they've responded. There's a turning from sin that must be the case. They've decided to have done with the old way and to seek the new. And this, of course, is so important, isn't it? When the gospel is received, there is conviction, there is hatred for sin. The old must make way for the new. That's what you see whenever these green shoots coming up in the hearts and lives of these people. And you see that happening for a while. For a while. But not only is there evidence of repentance, there must be evidence that the people have trusted in Christ. They've opened their hearts and trusted Him alone for salvation. There's no one else. They have heard of His death on their behalf and they believe in Him. And if you ask them, they'll say, there's absolutely no doubt about it. I do believe, I will believe that Jesus died for me. I know that there's no other Savior but Jesus. For a while. But then there also was evidence that they desire to be with God's people. Oh, I have seen this, that for a while they come to God's house and it's great to be getting into the fellowship of God's people, coming to the prayer meeting, coming to the Bible study. And the house of God, the things of God are their joy. And they could say with the psalmist as they come in the Lord's day morning, I joyed when to the house of God go up, they said to me. It's wonderful to come to God's house on His day. For a while, maybe they even come to the Lord's table. For a while. But there's also evidence, the evident assurance these people have. Speak to them, and they speak of the Lord Jesus. They speak of their Savior. They maybe would tell you, why didn't I hear about this before? Why didn't somebody tell me about Jesus? Why didn't somebody tell me that Jesus can meet the deepest need of my heart? Why? And the members of the congregation are so pleased and they'd say, surely this is a true believer. These people are full of the joy of Christ and so emotional about it all, bubbling over with joy. Outwardly, everything looks so well, just the way the farmer comes and looks at the seed that's been sown upon a rock. It looks so well. For a while. That's what happened outwardly. But what happened inwardly? What happened, secondly, inwardly? You see, the farmer had come to see the result of the seed sown, and it looked so good. But of course, he couldn't see underneath the surface. He didn't know that there was no root because of the rock. Outwardly, it all seemed so good, didn't it? You know, about 3 weeks ago, my wife came home with a plant. She sometimes comes home with plants. And she wants it planted then in the front garden. Oh, I don't like planting it in the front garden. Why? Because whenever I dig down where we live now, if there are any builders here, that's where 40 years ago they set the cement mixer in our garden. And 6 inches down, there's this lovely sheet of concrete, and 40 years on, it's still there. And I have had to borrow or get a Kango hammer sometimes to try and break through it. Because I know if I don't break through it, there's not going to be enough depth for the plant. But that's the case that we have here, isn't it? They had no root. You say, how could someone profess to be a Christian and not have any root? have no experience of Christ. What happened to them? What happened to them? If this is the case, well, a number of things I think had happened. They had liked what they heard, but they hadn't applied the message to their hearts. They liked what they heard, but they hadn't applied the message to their hearts. You see, the gospel is a lovely story, isn't it? It's a lovely story. We sometimes sing, I love to hear the story which angel voices tell, how once the King of Glory came down to earth to dwell. I love to hear the story. Tell me the story of Jesus. I love to hear. That's tremendous, you know, and people genuinely love to hear. Drunk men on the Shankill Road like to hear the story of Jesus. I've had to take people home who've drunk, but they love to hear the story of Jesus. It's a most wonderful story. Most wonderful story. And these people would have liked what they heard, you see. This is the message for me. This is what I need. But this message must go beyond the hearing. It must go beyond the hearing. It must go into the heart. It must go beyond the emotions. You're not jumping about as if you're at a football match. You have to open your heart and let Christ come in. And in the heart, the gospel must be applied. Jesus spoke about the many who honored them with their lips, but their hearts were far from him. So these people, you see, would have liked the message, but the heart was unchanged. But secondly, they had not counted the cost. There's another reason. They had not counted the cost. You know, the Lord Jesus made it very clear that if you're going to follow him, you should count the cost. Will a man start to build a house without first finding out what it's going to cost? He would be the laughing stock of the country if he started to build. If he only got up to the footings level. Like, he'd be laughing stock, so you would. If he couldn't get the walls up, if he couldn't get the roof on. Oh, you might say it'd be nice to build a house. Well, it might be nice to build a new house, but if we can't pay for it, then we shouldn't start, should we? And yet there are those who feel it would be nice to be a Christian and even fear the awful consequences of rejecting Christ. But they're not willing to pay the price. We must count the cost. Jesus said, if we're going to follow him, we've got to leave the other things behind. Jesus said, if you come after me, let a man deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. But not everybody wants to do that, do they? Even those who came to Jesus, some said, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and do this. That can't be. That can't be. If you're going to follow Jesus, if you're going to open your, if you're going to be truly belong to Jesus, you can't say, Lord, let me go and do this. That's a contradiction. If he's Lord, he has to have first place. He has to have first place. You know, at this time when many people have heard the gospel so clearly, let me ask, I wonder if there's somebody in here this morning, have you counted the cost? To be a Christian means to complete turn away. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old things are gone and all things become new. Are you willing for that? Are you willing for that? But not only had they not counted the cost, they had not trusted Christ. They had not trusted Christ. Oh yes, for a time it looked as if they had. It looked outwardly as if the Lord Jesus was their Savior, just the way when the farmer looked at the field and he saw the crops beginning to grow and he said, well, everything's going well. So also the minister of the Kirk session could look and say, now there's John, there's Mary, and there's a genuine work has been done. They've trusted Christ. They're doing They're following him. It looked as if they had trusted the Savior. But in their hearts, that wasn't so. Oh, they believed in him with their understanding, but they had not believed in their hearts. They hadn't believed to the saving of their souls. The Lord Jesus was not the one in whom all their trust was founded. The one who ruled in their hearts was not Christ. There was no heart union with Christ. So let's beware of the tactics of the evil one. It's not enough to be emotionally affected. It's not enough just to say, oh, I have a head knowledge of this. I have a head knowledge of what salvation is all about. Or wanting to feel the joy and the peace of Christ. These are only possible whenever you come to Christ. When with all our hearts we believe on him for salvation. And that hadn't taken place here. But then also they still had a desire for the old ways. For a time, the excitement would push the desire for the old ways into the background. You ever see that happening? Someone who makes a profession, and for a while they're going on well, and then after a while they begin to creep back to the things that they once were involved in. And the excitement of knowing Jesus seems to have waned. And begins to fade. And the ongoing task of following Jesus is not very appealing anymore. And thoughts go back to the old ways and to the old companions. And the old ways were still long for. There was no root. Or I remember knocking a door one day at night in the summer's evening in the Shankill trying to reach people. And this youngish woman came to the door, and I told her what it was about. And she said to me, she says, I used to go to such and such a place. Not now. Giving it all up. Giving it all up. That's what you get, you see. That's what you get. For a while they went on, and then they fell back, and the old ways were still long for. You know, there are some people I think would try religion as some others would try a type of medicine. But it's all on the surface. I tried that once, it didn't work. Don't bother me with that anymore. Let me tell you, if there's anyone here who has ever said that, you were never converted. If you say that, you were never converted. You never knew Christ. Because if you truly knew Christ, you would never say, I tried that and it didn't work. You would never say, I tried that and it never worked. They believed for a while. They believed for a while. So what happened outwardly? Everything looked so well. The field was going green. The farmer would be pleased. What happened inwardly? It was on the rock. And there was no inward work done. There was no work of salvation in their hearts. So what happened eventually? What happened eventually? The seed was lost. The seed was lost. This seed that made such a good start, such a shoot, the shoots going up so green. And now, at the heat of the day comes, and it begins to wither. Begins to wither. Because there's no root there, you see. It can't go down. It can't go down. And this rock below maybe gets warmer and warmer, and the seed is lost. And so also, you see, as the person who has taken in the word of God with the ear, but not with the heart. not with the heart. Why does this happen? Why does this happen? You see, sometimes people think, look, if I become a Christian, then all my troubles will be over. But nowhere in the Bible does it say that. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. Trouble comes to everyone. It comes to those who are Christians. It comes to everyone. It is sometimes thought that we're exempt, but that's not the case. In a real sense, I think we only begin to understand and experience temptation and trouble whenever we come to Christ. The devil was so busy throwing his darts at us. Do you remember Satan desired to have Peter? And Satan desires to have everyone, everyone. Trouble comes, but to those whose knowledge of Christ is with only with the head, with the emotions, they cannot survive such trouble. And they go back, and they go back. But those whose the knowledge of Christ is with the head and the heart, they will keep going on. They will keep going on. But others, they consider it was much easier. Much easier. Before I became a Christian, before I made this profession, much easier. Why did I get tangled up with this? And they go back. They go back. I hope most of you have still got a copy of Pilgrim's Progress in the house. Well, if you haven't got a copy of Pilgrim's Progress, then buy one for Christmas. It's worth buying. It's worth having. And if you read the first 6 or 7 pages, where Christian with his burden on his back, is burdened, he wants to get rid of his burden, and he's heading towards the gate, the doorway, he's heading towards Jesus. And as he leaves the city of destruction, another member of the town joins him, called Pliable. Oh, Pliable said to him, and you're going, tell me where you're going to. And Christian tells him to get this burden off his back and go into the city of the king. And Pliable says, I'd like to go with you. And he starts, and the two of them are going along together, and Pliable's all for it. Pliable says, Tell me, what's this country like that we're going to? And Christian's not very sure because, you see, he has only started on the journey. But he tells him, look, it's a place where God reigns and where the angels sing and where there'll be no more sorrow and there'll be no more pain. And Pliable says, that's tremendous, tremendous. Tell me more. And Christian's doing his best to tell him this wonderful place that he's going to. And then they are not watching where they're going. And they fall into the slough of despond, or we would maybe say they fell into the shuck. They fell into the slough of despond, and they were in the muck and the mire. And Pliable said, what's this all about? You didn't tell me it was going to be like this on the way to heaven. And Christian didn't understand himself, but they've been so taken up, they hadn't realized, and had been overcome with temptation and trouble, and they were in despair in this slough of despond. And Pliable says, if I get out of this, I'm going back to where I came from. And he struggled out on the side towards the city of destruction, and back he went to hell. That's where he went to. But Christian struggled on, and he got help. A man called Help came, helped him out, and started him again towards heaven. Towards heaven. That's what happens, you see. That's what happens. Whenever a person has no root, they will go back. The Pliables of this world go back. And you know, such people will go back no matter how often they are warned. The members of the church will say to them, look, don't go back. The members of the church will say to them, look, you've started, continue with the journey, but no. No man having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. The warnings are not heeded, and they go back. And those who go back are very hard to reach with the gospel again. Very hard to talk to again. After all, they've tried it once, haven't they? They've tried it. They're not very easy to talk to. And they go back, and the world looks on and says, I remember, there's John. He used to be professed to be a Christian. There's Mary. Where are they now? Where are they now? The seed that fell by the wayside was lost. But there's no difference, you see. The seed that fell on the rock, even though there was a promising start, it was lost. It was lost. It's not the person who starts well. It's the person who endures to the end will be saved. Isn't that right? The person who endures to the end will be saved. So let me ask you this morning in conclusion, what will be the outcome of the seed sown in your heart in these days, for the seed is being sown? Will there be some here and you'll believe for a while? How sad that would be. How sad that someone would just say, oh, this is all for me, and then 6 months later, they're not to be seen, or a year later. How sad. Oh, be wise this morning, be wise. Count the cost, put the root down deep. Trust with all your heart in Christ. Turn away from sin. And there will be a true work of salvation done that will last for time and for eternity. And in 20 years or 30 years, if you're young, or 40 years, or you're even younger, you'll still be, if Jesus hasn't come back, you'll still be going on, and you'll still be rejoicing in Him. That's what's so important. My name's from the palms of His hands. Eternity will not erase. So what about us this morning? Do you know Christ? Are you bringing forth fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold? Do you love the Lord Jesus today? Surely it's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Let me close just with the lines of a very old hymn. Almighty God, thy word is cast like seed into the ground. Let not the foe of Christ and man this holy seed remove, but give it root in every heart to bring forth fruits of love. Give it root in every heart to bring forth fruits of love. Let's pray.